Good morning. It's great to be with you all again. Your brethren in Kingsport send their greetings. For our message, if you'll turn with me in your Bible to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. And we're going to do a bit of turning. So be sure to keep a bookmark here in Colossians. We'll be turning back and forth here a lot. Colossians chapter 1, let's start reading in verse 25. Colossians 1, 25. The Apostle Paul says, "Whereof I am made a minister, according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you, to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus, whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily." The title of our message is Christ in You. Don't you like the sound of that?
Amen.
Christ in You. Now, we just heard this, but I'll say it again. This is the gospel. This is the good news. And as we just read, this is also a great mystery. A great, great mystery. But this is all my hope.
Yeah. That's it. Mine too.
I'm counting my eternal soul on this right here. Christ in you.
Yeah.
The hope of glory. Now, for our message, I have 3 points, and I'll try to be brief. The points are Christ in you, the mystery, Christ in you, the union, and Christ in you, the hope of glory. We'll pick up in verse 25. The first thing I want us to see is that this is a great mystery. Verse 25, Paul said, "Whereof I made a minister according to the dispensation or will of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill or to fully preach the word of God, even the mystery."
Amen.
And see what it says. The mystery, excuse me, which hath been hid from ages and from generations. The gospel is hidden to all men and women by nature.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
When we're born into this world, we do not know. We don't have an inkling. We do not know, and we cannot know the things of God. 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, "The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." Now let's read in verse 26 again. It says, "Even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints." Praise God, he has manifested this mystery to his saints.
Yes, sir.
How? How is God pleased to do this? Look at verse 27. "To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." In order for us to know the gospel, in order for us to know this mystery, God must make it known to us.
Yeah.
We're not going to find it out on our own. We can read the scriptures, but unless God gives us eyes to see Christ, we will not see him. We will not find him. We will not know him. God must make it known. Praise God, he's been pleased to make known what is the riches. You know, Paul wrote about the unsearchable riches of Christ. There's all the riches of heaven right there, all in Christ. "To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory." All glory is in him. And he's been pleased to make known this mystery among the Gentiles. I will gladly take my place as a Gentile.
Yes, sir.
A Gentile dog.
Yeah.
Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Here we'll see more clearly how God makes this mystery known. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 3. We just heard part of this a minute ago. Paul said, "If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake." Now look at verse 6. This is how God makes his gospel known. "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." And again, we all love darkness rather than light until God shines the light in our hearts, makes himself and his gospel known to us. That's salvation. And I rejoice to know that God does that. I love how it says, "For God who commanded." He didn't ask. He's not begging, hoping. He commands. When God sends his word, it shall not return void. It shall accomplish the thing which he's pleased for it to accomplish in the place whereto he sends it. Christ is the gospel, and he must be revealed to us and in us. Turn over a few pages to Galatians chapter 1. If you read about it in Acts 8 and 9, you'll see that the Apostle Paul had quite the experience in God saving him. But really, all believers share that same experience. And here we're going to read about it in Galatians 1. Look with me at verse 11. He said, "But I certify you, I assure you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me of me is not after man. For I neither received it of or from man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ." The only way we're going to learn the gospel is by revelation of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
"Who hath believed our report?" The prophet said, "To whom the arm of the Lord Christ has been revealed."
Amen.
Christ must be revealed to us. Look at verse 13. "For you've heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers." On his own, Saul of Tarsus was a zealous religious man. I'll tell you this, he was highly esteemed in the eyes of men. And there's many today. But there was just one problem. He was a Pharisee. Read about it in Philippians 3. He was a Pharisee. He was religious, but lost. God had not revealed to him what he was. But soon, God is going to lay him in the dirt. And here in Galatians 1, we're reading about that. In verse 15, "But when it pleased God." Now, right there, don't we see salvation in God's work?
Amen.
He said, "Here I was, thought I was living for God, working the works of God, but I wasn't believing on Christ. But when it pleased God." What did God do for him? "But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his Son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood." Like Peter, the Lord, he said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And he told him, he said, "Peter, flesh and blood did not reveal this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven." God must reveal Christ to us.
Amen.
Christ in us is the hope of glory. Now, turn back to our text here in Colossians 1. Verse 26 again, "Even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but is now made manifest to his saints." This is not revealed to everybody. God has not been pleased to reveal this to everybody. You read in Matthew 11, verse 25, He hid these things from the wise and prudent. He hid these things from all of us, naturally. But He's been pleased to make it known, to reveal His gospel unto babes. Unto those who can do nothing, they know nothing, they are nothing, they have nothing on their own. Who can't save themselves. It takes God, just like a babe, a baby. What can a baby do? A baby can cry. A baby needs constant attention. That's what we are. That's who God saves. That's the saints. Now look here in Colossians 1 and verse, if I can find it. Colossians 1 verse 1. Contrary to the popular opinion of religion, not everybody's a saint. You got sinners and you got saints. Well, I'm here to say that the saints are the sinners. They're one and the same. Here in Colossians 1, Paul said, it says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what distinguishes all saints? Those two words, in Christ. The saints and the faithful brethren, they're the same people, and they're in Christ. That's how they're known. Their names are written on His forehead. Their names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, the saints. The saints are a particular, peculiar people. They are the children of God, the elect. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 1. Part of this mystery is not only Christ in you, but how are we in Him? How could I be in Christ? Christ is God. How could I be in Him? Well, look here in Ephesians chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints, which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. It's the same. He wrote the same thing. Because the saints at Colossae are no different than the saints at Ephesus. They're saints in Christ Jesus. Verse 2, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. Amen. Now we could just stop right here and spend the next 20 minutes. All spiritual blessings are in Christ.
Amen.
Every blessing. You know, we think money and other things of this world are blessings. They're not.
Right.
Christ is the blessing.
Right.
He is the blessed one, and we're only blessed in Him.
Yes.
And we're only in Christ because God chose us in Him.
Yeah. Amen.
Now, He did not look through the portals of time and see what we would do. We wouldn't want to know. God looked down from heaven. We see what He saw. He chose us in Him, that Christ may be praised, that He may be glorified, that we might be to the praise of the glory of His grace. That's why. That's why. Turn over with me to 1 Peter chapter 2. This matter of being chosen in Christ, it's often not received very well. And none of us receive it well until it's revealed to us that we were chosen in Christ.
Exactly.
Election is God reserving to Himself a people.
Yeah.
And if God had not reserved a people unto Himself, there would be no elect.
Yeah.
There would be no saints in Christ.
Exactly.
Look here in 1 Peter chapter 2. Here I believe we see clearly who the saints are. 1 Peter 2 verse 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar or purchased people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. You know what that sounds like to me? That sounds like we were just going along, living our life, blind to the things of God, concerned with ourselves and nothing else. And then God shined Christ into our heart. Here we are walking in darkness, happy to walk in darkness. Here comes Christ. Just like that. God spoke to us through his word, and now everything's different. Now we see him. Now we see the light. We walk in the light. We walk in Christ. We were not a people, but now we're a people. We'd not obtained mercy. We didn't need mercy. Now we find ourselves at his feet and begging for mercy and finding it because he's pleased to show it to all who need it. Does that sound mysterious to you? Glorious that God would be pleased to do this? Oh, what a mystery. What a mystery. We'll turn back to our text. The second point. Christ in you, the union. I was thinking about how do I explain this? What does it mean for Christ to be in you? Well, for him to be in us means for us to be one with him.
Amen.
And I know I can't do this justice, but I'm going to try. Look here in Colossians 1, verse 20. I'm sorry, let's start at verse 18. Colossians 1, 18. This is talking about Christ. Christ is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. The Lord Jesus Christ has reconciled us to God.
Amen.
You see, we were at enmity with God. The carnal mind, that's all of us, is enmity with God. What Christ did, he did the impossible. He made peace between a holy God and sinful men. Only he could do that. Because he is both God and man. He is the substitute of sinners. He is the Savior. We who were his enemies have been made to be his friends. Don't you love that verse that refers to Christ as our friend that sticketh closer than a brother? You know, we might get all sad and say, well, I don't have any friends. Well, I got one friend.
There you go.
He sticketh closer than a brother. Praise God for Christ, the friend of sinners. Now, why would he do this? Why would he do what he did? Why would he give himself for such an unworthy people? Well, it says in verse 22, to present them, to present us holy. Make us holy and present us holy and unblameable. Nothing to blame, no guilt, no sin to account for, unreprovable. The law has nothing to say to us, nothing to reprove.
That's right.
Christ did this to present us perfect in the sight of God.
Amen.
In John 17, he was praying to the Father. He said that they all may be one. As thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us. That they may be made perfect in one, in him, in Christ. Now turn with me to Ephesians again, this time chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. The union of Christ and his church is a marriage.
Yes.
It's the marriage.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ephesians 5, verse 25. Actually, let's start in verse 22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery. But I speak concerning Christ and the church.
Amen.
This is a great mystery indeed. We are so truly united to Christ that we're no more two. It's not he's over here and we're over here. We're one.
Amen.
You know, God is up here. We are down here. Christ has brought us to God. He's made us one with God in him. Is that not amazing?
Yes.
Amazing grace. Amen. My soul. We are members of his body. He's our head. Without him, we're nothing. We can do nothing. We're nobody. He's our head. We're members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. Bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh. And one day, there's going to be a marriage supper of the Lamb. And you know what's going to happen? Christ, the Lamb, is going to present his bride to the Father. And the Father's going to be well pleased.
Amen.
Revelation 21, verse 9 says, come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife.
Yeah.
What a mystery. Amen. That we sinners should be called the Lamb's wife.
Yeah.
The bride of Christ.
Yeah.
What a mystery. Amen. Now, as a result of this blessed eternal union with Christ, we have life.
Amen.
He that believeth on the Son. He that hath the Son hath life. If I have him, I have eternal life. And he that hath not the Son, he that believeth not on the Son, hath not life. The wrath of God abideth on you. Life is only in Christ. Everything else is death. Just look around us.
Exactly.
It's all going to die.
Yeah.
We're going to die. But not if we believe on Christ. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me shall never die.
Amen.
And I pray God's given us faith to believe this.
Yeah, right.
To believe on him. Life is only in him. Back to Colossians. And this time, look in chapter 3. Verse 4 says, when Christ, who is our life, when Christ, our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. I can't wait. He is my life. He's given me life. He said, I give unto them my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish. No man's going to pluck us out of his hand or his father's hand. They're one.
Yeah.
And we're one in him. And Christ is our life. He is our life. Not only is he our life, he lives in us. Turn to Galatians chapter 2. I love this verse. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me.
Amen.
Again, here we see the union that we have with Christ. I'm crucified with Him.
Yeah.
In baptism, what we're saying is, I was crucified with Him. I was buried with Him. When He was buried, He carried my sins far away.
Yeah.
My sins were gone. And when He arose, I arose in Him.
Amen.
I'm with Him.
Yeah.
That's what He's saying. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Hopefully you have your finger in Colossians still. In chapter 3, look at verse 3. Right before the one we just read. It says, "For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God." We're dead, but we're alive. We're alive in Christ. We live in Him. In Him I live and move and have my being. In Him. Back in Galatians 2, verse 20. We'll read the whole verse. "I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me." You know, it's interesting that this says the life that I'm living, I live by the faith of Him. How do we live? By His faith. Because He lives in us. Our faith in Christ is a result of His faithfulness to us. We're constrained by the love of Christ. And I'm so glad that that's the case. We're not motivated by law. We're not motivated by promise of reward in heaven or threat of punishment in hell. No, we're constrained. We're motivated. We're moved by one thing. That's the love of Christ. And by God's grace, by His constraining love and power, we will spend the remainder of our days looking unto the Lord Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith.
Amen.
Looking to Him, trusting in Him, believing on Him. Until one day, we're going to wake up and see Him.
Yeah.
That'll be the day.
Yeah.
We'll be satisfied. He'll be satisfied, and we'll be satisfied. One in Him. He loved us and gave Himself for us. And that's all our hope.
Yeah.
That's all my hope. My hope is in the Lord from this time forth and even forevermore. Lastly, Christ in you is the hope. He is the hope. I love how you look at it with me. Colossians 1:27. Christ in you, the hope of glory.
Amen.
You see, if I have Christ, I have hope.
Yeah.
If I don't have Christ, I don't have hope.
Exactly.
I'm hopeless.
Right.
That's why my hope is in the Lord. He is our hope. He is hope.
Yeah.
He is hope. Yeah. You see, everybody's got religion, but that's not enough. I looked this up. I remember Walter preaching on this a while back about pure religion. Religion's mentioned, I think, 5 times in the Scriptures. If I'm not mistaken, the first four times it's mentioned, it's all about false religion. And then one time it says pure religion. You know what pure religion is? Christ. Pure. We don't need religion. We need pure religion. We need Christ. We need Christ in us, the hope of glory. Well, how can I know if Christ is in me? Turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Next book over, 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 13. Paul's writing to the saints again, this time the saints at Thessalonica. In verse 13 he says, "But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto He called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you've been taught, whether by word or our epistle, Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself, and God even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work.
Amen.
Has God given you a good hope through grace? Has God given you a good hope through grace? Has God called you and given you faith to look to Christ? He said, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. I'm God. There's none else. There's no God beside me. Life is in his Son. Life is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Has God given you a good hope through grace? Has God called you and given you faith to believe on Christ alone? If so, then Christ is in you. And you have a good hope. Ephesians 2 verse 8. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself, is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we're his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
We're new creatures in Christ Jesus. He is our hope. He is our hope from start to finish. And I'll show you one last thing here. Back in Colossians chapter 1. Paul was writing to the saints at Colossae. And these brethren at Colossae, they had this hope. They had this hope. And I pray that we also have this hope. Colossians 1 verse 3. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven. Whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit as it doth also in you since the day you heard and knew the grace of God in truth.
Amen.
Our hope is a sure hope. We have a firm foundation.
Yeah.
On Christ the solid rock we stand.
Amen.
And our hope is laid up. That means reserved.
Yeah.
It's laid up, reserved for us in heaven. It can never be moved. It can never be taken away. We that believe on Christ shall never be confounded. We'll never be put to shame for believing on him. Salvation's in him. Our hope is in heaven, and Christ is our hope. You know where he is? It says he is seated on the right hand of the majesty on high. And you know where we're seated? God hath made us to sit together in heavenly places in him. It's all in Christ. Verse 12 here in Colossians 1. Give thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins.
Amen.
Does that give you hope? Oh, that gives me such hope. Christ has delivered us from the death that we've earned. He's given us life freely in him. We'll never perish. Redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. Made us to be the righteousness of God in him by being made the sin that we are. Being forsaken by God to bring us to God. Becoming us that we might become him. Giving us his glory. What a hope. What a hope. Look down at Colossians 2 verse 10. This right here pretty much sums it up. And ye are complete in him.
Amen.
It is finished.
Amen. Yes.
If that's not enough, look over one page at Colossians 3, verse 10. And put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all.
Amen.
and in all. Christ is all and in all. He's all to the Father. He's all to His people. And He's in all His people. May God be pleased to reveal once again, or perhaps for the very first time, Christ in us, the hope of glory. Amen.